In dependence upon God for all needful help in our meditation this morning, I'll direct your attention to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, reading verse 6. Gospel according to John, chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Before we come more particularly to this text before us this morning, I'd like to look just a little at the background of the Gospel of John. What was the great purpose of the writing of the Gospel of John? Well, we have it set before us in chapter 20, verse 30, where we read, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. The great purpose of the Word, the great purpose of the Word of God, the great purpose of all the Word of God, ultimately is to point us to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. This was the great purpose then of the writing of the Gospel of John. Indeed, this is the great purpose of the Word of God, to lead us to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We see in the Gospel of John a focus on Jesus Christ being the fulfillment of the promised Messiah. Jesus indeed was the fulfillment of the prophecy of the coming Messiah. And the Gospel of John puts much emphasis upon Jesus as being fulfillment of the promised Messiah. Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was the promised one. He it was who had been promised, and Jesus was indeed the promised Messiah made manifest in flesh on earth. We find in chapter 1, he first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. We have found the Messiah. We have found him, the promised one. And what of the woman that Jesus was speaking to? The woman at the well, what was her testimony? Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ? Is not this the promised one? Is not this the Messiah, the promised one? Yes. And so the Gospel of John puts quite a lot of emphasis upon and mentions it in several instances as Jesus as being the promised one, the promised Messiah. Martha said, she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world, that should come into the world. Jesus Christ, then, the fulfillment of the promise. But also in the Gospel of John, there is a lot of teaching and emphasis put on Jesus not only being the promised Messiah, but Jesus being the Son of God. Verily God and verily man. Jesus as part of the Trinity. Jesus being God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus Christ, then, the Son of God. And so there is a focus on the sonship of Christ, being the Son of God. Jesus Christ being the fulfillment of the promise. He was the Messiah, the one that was coming to deliver his people. But also in the Gospel of John, the pre-existence of Christ is made manifest, where we read that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ, in eternity, for eternity. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, the Son of the Father, Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. Much of the theology of the New Testament is based on the Gospel of John. And also we see in the Gospel of John clearly defined the work of the Holy Spirit. He is described in the Gospel of John as a counselor, as the indweller of the Lord's people, as a teacher, as a witness, and a guide. Indeed, the ministry of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to his people comes to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have mentioned this before. One of the fundamental foundation truths of every one of the Lord's people is that they have the witness of the Spirit in their lives. It is said, in whom is the Spirit? They are a new creature through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. But now let's come more particularly to the text before us this morning. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus then saith unto him. Jesus said. Well, when Jesus spoke, there was always a reason. There was always a purpose. It was always with power. And it was always the truth. It was always with authority. And it was always with meaning. And very importantly, it was always in accordance with his Father's will. Always for a reason, always for a purpose, always the truth, always with authority, always with meaning, and always in accordance with his Father's will. Consider him. Consider the gracious words that came from the mouth of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Consider him and consider us. How often we talk idly, don't we? How often we talk unadvisedly. In conversation, we were speaking this morning about a conversation and our words being put through a sieve. Three sieves. How we need to test what we are saying. Is it right? Is it the truth? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Well, when Jesus spoke, it was always necessary. When Jesus spoke, it was always the truth. When Jesus spoke, it was always with authority. When Jesus spoke, there was always a purpose. There was always a meaning. It was always with authority. Jesus never spoke unadvisedly. Jesus never spoke unnecessary words. Jesus never spoke loosely. Jesus never spoke unkindly. Oh, what an example there is to follow in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wisdom in perfection. Well, let's look a little at some of the words that Jesus spake. Jesus speaking, first of all, in creation. Let us look at Jesus speaking in creation. What does the psalmist record in Psalm 33, verse 9? For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. When Jesus spoke in creation, it was done. When Jesus spoke in creation, he commanded, and it stood fast. We read of Jesus in creation in the first chapter of John, don't we, as we read, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. When Jesus spoke, it stood fast. When Jesus spoke, when Jesus commanded, it was done. Always with authority, always with power, always in accordance with his Father's will. What are the sermons of Jesus? What are the parables of Jesus? What are the teaching of Jesus? The word of the Lord endureth forever. And when Jesus preached, he preached with power. When Jesus preached, he preached with life. What was the testimony of the officers that were sent to capture Jesus and bring him to be tried? Back to the Pharisees and the scribes. At one point in his life, what was their witness? What was the officers? They came back and said, never man spake like this man. This man is different. This man speaks with authority. This man speaks with power. And they came back and said, never man spake like this man. There was something special about this man. There was something different about this man. Well, what was the testimony then of the people who lived in the time of Jesus upon this earth? And we read that all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. The gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. You see, compared with the scribes and the Pharisees, they had no respect. People didn't respect the scribes and the Pharisees because they were hypocritical. And when they spoke, they just spoke words. They weren't speaking with power because their lives weren't a living witness of the truth. They were hypocritical, and people saw that they were hypocritical. And so when they spoke, they didn't speak with power. But when Jesus spoke, he spoke with power. They wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth, the mighty words, the words of power that proceeded out of the mouth of Jesus. What was the testimony of Peter as he spoke to his Lord and Savior? Then seeing Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Because thou hast the words of eternal life. The words that Jesus was speaking were eternal words. They were words of eternal life. They were life-giving words. They were words that would last for eternity. They were life-giving words. And then finally, on this theme of the eternal words of Jesus, we read another account of this in the Gospel of Mark. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. My words are for eternity. Oh, the words of Jesus then. Oh, the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. The words of power, the words of authority. As we consider the words that proceeded out of the mouth of Jesus, those words of power, it's a very profitable theme for meditation to look at the seven last sayings of Jesus upon the cross. A very profitable theme of meditation. The words of Jesus upon the cross. Jesus hath said unto him, but now our precious Lord and Saviour is still speaking. You say, well, he's no longer on earth. How can he be speaking? Jesus is still speaking through his word, but also Jesus is still speaking in heaven. Jesus is speaking in heaven on behalf of his people. Jesus is still speaking now in heaven on behalf of his people. When we pray, Jesus is making intercession for us. Jesus is interceding for us. In heaven, he's speaking mightily in heaven on our behalf. What found sacred fountain yonder springs up from the throne of God, and all new covenant blessings brings, 'tis Jesus' precious blood. And the hymn goes on to say, what voice is that which speaks for me in heaven's high court for good, and from the curse has set me free? 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. The finished work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is now speaking for us on our behalf. The perfection of Jesus, the finished work, is speaking for us, is interceding for us. Jesus is interceding for us now in heaven, ever living to make intercession for his people. Jesus said, when Jesus spake, he only speaks words of power and authority and for a purpose and in accordance with his Father's will. Jesus saith unto him, I am. I am. Here we see the divine name, I am. See the authority in this I am. I am. That I am. I am the eternal one. The eternal I am. What does Jesus say again in the Gospel of John chapter 8 when the people were accusing him? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I am in eternity, for eternity, before Abraham was, I am. I was in eternity before Abraham, in eternity before the world was made, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus speaks as well of himself being I am in his resurrection, in his resurrection power. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I am he that lived, I am he that liveth and was dead. Yes, Jesus was one that lived on this earth, and he died. But now he is alive again forevermore. I am I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I am the resurrection and the life, and I am Jesus. I am the resurrection of my people. I and only I, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is the one that can give his people eternal life through the power of the Holy Spirit. I am the resurrection and the life. But here we have Jesus describing himself as the way, the truth, and the life. Elsewhere, Jesus describes himself as the Messiah, as the bread of life. I am from above. I am eternal. I am the eternal one. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the Son of God. I am the Lord and Master, the true vine, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. I am that I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. First of all, then, Jesus saith unto him, Jesus speaking, how we need reverence. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the way. Jesus is speaking quite clearly to us through his word that he is the way to the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way to the Father but in and through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is no other way to heaven, only through Jesus. I am the way. I am the way then of mercy, repentance, forgiveness. I am the way of grace. I am the way of prayer. Well, you might say these, I well know. You keep on saying this when you come to Hindley. You keep on saying that these hallmarks of the way. Jesus is the way of mercy. Jesus is the way of repentance. Jesus is the way of forgiveness. Jesus is the way of grace and of prayer. But what of some of the other aspects of the way as it is through Jesus? It is the way of obedience. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Do you love the Lord Jesus? Is he the one thing needful in your life? If ye love me, keep my commandments. Witness to those around that you love the Lord Jesus. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Jesus is the way of obedience. Jesus is the way of humility. Pride and self must be brought down. Jesus is the way of tenderness. Jesus is the way of suffering. Jesus suffered so much in his life, not only the awful sufferings on behalf of his people, but see how he suffered in his life. He was rejected. He was despised. Jesus knew the oppression, the ridicule, the hatred of people round about him. He was buffeted. He was hit in his life, and he was hurt in his life. Jesus knew the pathway of suffering, and we are called to walk in that pathway of suffering as our Master suffered. So will we be called to walk in the pathway of suffering. Rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. When people speak about you, about behind your back, when people spread rumors about you, when people speak unkindly about you. Remember that Jesus suffered in this way. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. Don't react. Don't fight back. Count it a privilege that you are suffering in the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't hit back. Count it a privilege. Rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. When you suffer for doing that which is right, happy are ye. What is sad is when we suffer for our own silliness. When we suffer, when we wander in the way. What glory is that if we are suffering when we make mistakes? But when you suffer for when you do what is right, when you walk in the right way and you suffer for it, happy are ye. Rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. But also, another aspect of the way that has been very much on my mind in the last 2 or 3 days, and that is this. Jesus is the way of tears. Jesus is the way of tears. We read in the life of Jesus that Jesus cried, Jesus wept. In the garden, Jesus had great, Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had great sorrow. When Jesus was told about Lazarus, we read that Jesus wept. Well, what are the tears in our life? Well, we read in Psalm 126 these beautiful words of tears. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. If we are crying today, if we are weeping today, if we are weeping over our sin, if we are weeping over the way, if we are crying in our heart unto the Lord, if we are sowing in tears, tears of repentance, tears of sorrow for sin, tears of humility, tears of contrition of sin, tears because we have a broken heart, if we are crying, really crying, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. This is one of the gracious certainties in the Word of God. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Not might, not perhaps, but they that sow in tears shall. There's a greater certainty here. Will reap in joy. How does the verse 6 go on to say? He that goeth forth and weepeth, he that goeth forth and cries after Jesus Christ, cries over his or her sin, weepeth, bearing the precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, shall doubtless come again. There's no uncertainty here. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Yes, bringing his sheaves with him. Doubtless come again with rejoicing. Well, what of this rejoicing? What of this triumph? Those that have sowed in tears shall reap in joy. And what is the witness and the testimony of those that have that have sowed in tears that are now reaping in joy? What is the testimony of those ones in heaven? What will be the testimony of the Lord's people? And I trust, what will be the testimony of us in heaven? What will be a testimony of those that have sowed in tears and are now reaping in joy? Well, there is one central theme of the cries of the Lord's people, of the joy of the Lord's people, and it is all centered around the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Revelations we read these words concerning this theme of the song of the Lord's people, the joy of the Lord's people. And we read, first of all, in chapter 7, verse 9, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number." Now listen to this. "Of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues." Not just one denomination, but all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, throughout the world, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And I said, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation. These are they that are sowed in tears." Yes, great tribulation. "These are they that have presented their bodies a living sacrifice. These are the ones that have come through suffering. These are the ones that have come through tribulation. These are the ones whom Christ has been the first in their lives, that could sing, 'I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee.' These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." This is the uniting thing of the Lord's people, that they have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, and their song is a song to Jesus, a song of praise, reaping in joy. And what a joy it will be, an eternal joy. "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." It is then not only though a way of tears, it is a way of joy and triumph. It may seem to you at this time that the triumph is a long way away. We seem to be laid so low, don't we? We seem to feel so weak, and we feel to be anything but conquerors. But you know the Lord's people are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. More than conquerors. Satan may be seeming to have his own way at the moment, and he seems, as it were, in this country to be having his own way. But Satan is a conquered foe. The Lord's people will triumph gloriously. It is the way of triumph, not only the way of tears, it is the way of joy and of triumph. "I am the way. I am the way of mercy, repentance, forgiveness. I am the way of grace. I am the way of prayer, certainly. I am the way of obedience and humility and of tenderness and of suffering. I am the way of tears. I am the way of joy and of triumph. Jesus is the way. The way of triumph. But also, Jesus is the way of good news." It came to me in my meditations on Jesus being the way in this way. You see, there is so much bad news around, isn't there, at the moment? When we watch the news or listen to the news, all we seem to hear about is bad news, don't we? We see the destruction of Yugoslavia, and we see the wars and the rumors of wars. Now we see the rumors of wars again with Iraq, and it seems to be all bad news. Well, I remember, and it came to me, it brought me back to my own conversion, and before my conversion I was sadly in very wild walking in the wrong way. And I can remember my dear mother. I can remember once or twice hearing her on the phone to other members of my family, and I could hear her saying in sad voice something that I'd been up to in the last week. Tears of sadness, tears of sorrow. But now my dear mother is reaping in joy, but I'm diversifying a little bit. It was all bad news. You see, I was walking in the wrong way. And all my mother could have, all the news about me was bad news. It was bad news. But there came a time when she was able to speak of some good news. And what was the good news? It was the good news that I've been convicted of sin. Behold, he prayeth. He has sorrow. He has tears. He is crying over his sin. God has touched his life. He has sorrow. What was the testimony of Paul? Behold, he prayeth. Behold, this man prayeth. Something has happened. There's some good news. Good news of salvation. Oh, that we might have some good news in our lives. Each one of us, there may be some good news. The good news of salvation. It's the best news that could ever happen in our lives. It's the news of salvation. Jesus then is the way of good news. Sin is the bad news. The bad news of the awful effects of sin. Jesus is the way of good news. Jesus is the way then that leads to life, life eternal. We can test whether we're in the right way as to where it is leading us. What direction is the way pointing us to? Jesus only ever leads us in the right way. You remember that we spoke a little while ago. He led them forth by the right way. And the right way, where did it lead? It led to the Father. It led to the city of habitation. Jesus then is the right way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way that leads to the Father. I am the way that leads to perfect happiness. I am the way of triumph and of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way then of truth. Jesus is full of truth. He only ever spoke words of truth. Jesus is the Word, we read earlier, didn't we? Jesus is the Word of God. The Word of life. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the originator of truth. Truth comes through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Truth comes through His Word. And Jesus is the communicator of truth through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the evidence of truth. Jesus is truth manifest. Jesus is perfection. Now then, another aspect of truth, Jesus is the way and the truth. We are sanctified in the way of truth. We are sanctified by truth. We are sanctified by the Word of God being applied to us by the Holy Spirit. We are sanctified by the truth. The truth as it is in Jesus, the standard of God's Word. In this world of deceit and dishonesty, is it not a comfort to the Lord's people? Is it not a comfort to you and I that we have the Word of God? That the Word of the Lord, the truth of the Lord, stands certain, standeth sure. The Word of the Lord is secure. You see, as we look at the law as it is at the moment in our land, we notice that people and judges are recommending changes to the law. The law in this land, the law of the land, is not something that doesn't change, is it? There are new aspects to the law, and it changes. New recommendations, the law changes. But God's truth doesn't change. God's law doesn't change. God's word is steadfast and certain and sure. There's no need for any changes to God's word. His truth is unchanging. The same yesterday and today and forever. Here is security in the truth. Here is direction for us in our lives in the truth of the Lord's word. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The life. Well, the life as it is in Jesus is eternal life. The life as it is in Jesus is everlasting life. You remember that we spoke a little of Jesus Christ being the rock and the water of life, eternal life flowing from the rock as it is in Christ Jesus. Well, Jesus spoke again. We'll consider Jesus speaking to the woman at the well. What did Jesus speak of? Of this life. This water to the woman at the well. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, the water in the well. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Everlasting life through the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus then is the resurrection, the resurrecting power of his people. Jesus is the one that resurrects his people. We saw the power of Jesus. We see the power of Jesus and his resurrection in life, naturally speaking, in the case of Lazarus. Jesus brought Lazarus to life again. I am the resurrection and the life. The life, real life here we have. Not a life as we live and we were born and then we come to die. But Jesus can give us eternal life. Eternal life. Everlasting life. Jesus then is the way of truth and the way of life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus. Jesus then is the door to the Father. Anyone that comes to the Father not through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we read, is a thief and a robber. Anyone that climbs into the fold over the wall, not through the door, is a thief and a robber. Anyone that thinks they can get to heaven through their works of righteousness in and of themselves is a thief and a robber. The only way is in and through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus then is the door to the Father in salvation, intercession, and to heaven. Well, in conclusion, let us focus our attention on the great power and yet simplicity of the message of the gospel. None but Jesus. What is the message of the gospel? None but Jesus. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. None but Jesus. I believe we sing sometimes, I think it is in hymn 918, of Jesus being the only way. Yes. self-renouncing grace admiring, made unto salvation wise, matchless love their bosoms firing. Oh, how sweet their songs arise, and what are their songs? None but Jesus, none but Jesus, from his blood their hopes arise. None but Jesus. The blessed simplicity and yet blessed truth of the gospel message. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do we see a beauty then, a suitableness in Jesus? The Song of Solomon we read in chapter 5, the witness and the testimony there of speaking of Christ, the beloved. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. He is altogether lovely. Do we see Jesus as he really is? Peter saw him as he really was, didn't he? He said, I know that thou art the Son of God, thou art Christ, Son of God. Paul's great concern was to know Christ, but what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. This is Paul's great concern, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I am, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let us then examine the direction that our lives are taking. Let us re-examine the foundation of our faith. Is our hope and belief built on the foundation of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Finally, as we look and consider perhaps sometimes other religions, this is what cuts through the heart of other religions. They are Christless. This is the hallmark of the right way. It is the way that is through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the hallmark of the way. In any other way that does not have Christ as the center, the foundation, the hallmark of faith, is not a faith. It's not a belief, really. It's not a belief that will last for eternity. It is only through the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the central thing of all true faith. It is through the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. May the Lord add his blessing to these few remarks. Amen.